That was so good. I don't need to preach a message. That was good. I like it. So at what point does Christmas start to come together for you? When do you start to get the taste that it's like, it's getting to be Christmas time? Is it when you show up at Home Depot and they've got all the Christmas trees out? Or you start to hear stuff on the radio? Or your neighbors start to put up lights and you go, oh, it's that time of year again. I have to dig into the shed, pull out all my lights. And then, if you kind of know when get that Christmas feeling, is it like, woohoo, it's Christmas time, baby, can't wait? Or is it like, oh, it's Christmas time again? What's your first reaction, if you can even think of that? I walk into places and I go, it's not even Halloween yet, and they got the Christmas stuff out. Can you at least wait till Thanksgiving and then do Christmas? No, they've got it all out there really quickly and up quick. Is it dread? Is it like anxiety? Is it like you just realize all the stuff that you're going to have to do and get done? Is it terror? Terror is probably a pretty strong word, but it wasn't for the shepherds. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The Christmas story is pretty familiar to most of us, particularly even the shepherds, and shepherds in the field. Where else would they be? Shepherds were in the field. Where else would they be? Tending their flocks by night. And the shepherds heard the angel. Anybody else hear the angel? Or just them? It wasn't just one, because there's a them. So there's a few, or there's more than a couple. And did it have to be shepherds? Did it have to be shepherds? Couldn't it have been the blacksmiths? Couldn't it have been the soldiers that were out patrolling and the security guards at night? Why the shepherds? The shepherds are kind of like on the bottom of the economic rung, They're just kind of the lowlives that can't find a job doing anything else. So they tend to the sheep 24/7, And then how about if it was you heard it in a different way, and there were garbage men be taking care of their dumpsters during the night, or there were sanitation engineers looking out over the septic systems during the night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. Did it have to be the shepherds? Why not the mayor? Why not the chief rabbi? Certainly he has some religious influence. Why not a government official? Shepherds, out in the middle of nowhere, far from everything, probably far from everybody. And God often appears to those that feel a little bit outcast, a little bit far from everyone else. Maybe they feel a little bit alienated. Maybe the shepherds have been chosen for their symbolism. God often deals with the shepherd, the lonely shepherd, the lowly shepherd. God reveals himself to the downtrodden, the outcast, the forgotten, to the ones that don't feel so blessed, to the ones that don't seem so highly favored among society. They don't feel as if they have any advantages. And this is kind of why I like New Life Alliance Church. That's why I like hanging around here, because this is kind of the place where the misfits fit. And I want you to be very aware of this. The young and the old, whether you're just beginning to walk with the Lord or you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years as a missionary, all are welcome, right, in the temple of God, and all are welcome within his house, those that are seeking him. Even the sanitation engineer, welcome here, right? So there's one thing I want you to know. I think it's your first slide. I want you to know this going into the holiday season, if you would. It's your next slide. God has his mind on you this Christmas. God's thinking about you this Christmas. He's not forsaken you, not abandoned you. In fact, he's here. That's how present he is. So I hope the message is received. God has his mind on you. And really, that's your kind of your first one. Your first one is that these shepherds, they received a message. They received it. Can you receive a message? Can you receive that message? See, that's the next one, Jody. They received. They were just doing their usual business. Just going about doing what they do. Just another ho-hum day in their life. They were not conjuring up spirits. They were not in touch with a Ouija board. No, they were probably not even huddled up in a state of prayer. They were just out doing what shepherds do, shepherding the flock. Just another day in the life of a shepherd, making a living, guarding the sheep, and the angels appear to them. And the glory shone all around them. To them? Did the sheep notice? Did the sheep scatter? It wasn't just one. A couple? A few? We usually think of a few. Is it personal? But there's a few. It's personal, but there's a few of them together. Personal, but it includes others. See, there's a them. God saw fit to show them the amazing news. Today, there is born the Messiah. Do you think they even knew what that word meant? Do you even know what that word means? I bet they had some kind of an idea about some Messiah, some Christ, some king that's supposed to come and take over and rule. Perhaps they did not know fully, like perhaps many of us. We don't know fully. So I wonder about these shepherds, and would they have known that? Would they have been that religious? More than likely, they wouldn't even have been allowed in the temple. Smelly, dirty sheep herders. I'm fascinated with this fact that these angelic beings, along with the glory of God and a host, a multitude, shone around them. Do you see that it's supernatural? It's supernatural. What's happening, what they're viewing, what they're seeing is way beyond that which is normal, miracle, fascinating, mystical, magical. Of course they're terrified. And the angels, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. But do you recognize it as something way beyond that which is physical? An unforeseen, unprecedented encounter, a supernatural phenomenon that shook them to their very core. Now watch, and the angels sing. The shepherds, unforeseen, unpredicted encounter, a supernatural phenomenon that shook the shepherds to their core. An unforeseen, unpredicted encounter, a supernatural phenomenon that shook the angels to their core. God is doing something new. God is doing something amazing. God is doing something in the physical world, and he's radically shifting and changing the spiritual dimension. And the angels are rejoicing and singing, look what God has done. Look what God is doing. Can you see it? Multitudes rejoicing and praising God for what God is doing. And the angel spoke and they heard, don't be afraid. Why wouldn't you be? Oh my God. They felt their hearts race. The angelic speaks. And when they speak, do you hear them audibly? Or was it into the very depths of their soul that something was spoken? How do you hear God? Can you hear God? Do you know his voice? Jesus would say, the sheep know my voice, and they follow after me. Do you know the voice of the Holy Spirit of God? It dwells within you, that speaks within you. A voice of Jesus that would speak things beyond the physical. And the shepherds react. Of course they react. They react in fear. They react in seeing something unknown, something mystical and mind-blowing, if you will. These shepherds think in supernatural terms, or do they think in physical terms? Do they think at all? They just react. Do they think that there's now a new king that's coming to take over Rome? Do they receive supernatural things like this angelic being and think in terms of physical? Are the angels speaking in terms of something physical, or are the angels speaking in terms of something spiritual? How much of what we experience is meant for our spiritual well-being and we apply it to the natural? How much of what God is sharing with these shepherds is supernatural and how much is physical? Spiritual. And isn't it 100% physical? Isn't Jesus fully God and fully man? Fully God and fully man. What are they speaking about? Is it physical or is it spiritual? Yes. Behold, God does something magnificent and new. And isn't this the moment that the spiritual shatters everything that you know about physicality and the physical and the natural world? Spirit becomes flesh. For certain, a baby born is physical, but by spiritual means. And the baby grows up and tells everybody, you must be born again. Right? You picture Nicodemus. How does a person enter the womb a second time and get to be born again? Are you talking in physical terms or are you talking in spiritual terms? How is God speaking to you? 100% spiritual and 100% physical. Yes. God intervenes. God breaks from the spiritual into the physical. This is how we can relate to the spiritual, only through Jesus Christ. No wonder the heavens are rejoicing and going crazy and singing and praising God. Is your own salvation a spiritual move or a physical moment? This baby Jesus grows up and says, radical thing, you must drink of my blood. Well, that's enough to make you sick and turn and run. Are you thinking in terms of physical? Are you thinking in terms of spiritual? The first shall be last. You must die to live. Who is this Jesus? And what kind of things is he talking about? Physical with spiritual implications. Spiritual with physical implications. Yes. This is the great joy. God entered the physical world. Spirit became flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. There is born this day a Messiah, a Savior, an earthly king, a heavenly king. And at his name, every knee will bow, both in earth and under the earth. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. What are the angels talking about? What are the angels singing about? What is God talking about? What is God doing? What is God saying to you right now? Fear? Traumatized? Full of joy? Just another usual ho-hum day in your life. How will you respond to the message? How will you respond to this message? Remember, I spoke last week about the difference between reacting and responding. Like if a doctor gave you medication to help you in your scenarios and come back a couple days later and he says, you're reacting to the medication. It's probably not what you want to hear. Or he says, you're responding to the medication, which is probably more of what you want to hear, right? And so many of us react out of the emotional, react out of the, you know, cultural scenarios. We react out of our justification. We react out of the flesh. We react in the physical. When God is talking about something spiritual, and maybe it takes us a little bit of time, but we get to that point sometimes where, okay, now I'm prepared to respond. I've gotten the reaction out of the way. Now I'm prepared to respond. See, we do that. We get that, don't we? We kind of understand that. The shepherds do that too. Shepherds do that too. They react. They don't know what's going on. They react. And then they come to a place where they respond. That's your next one, by the way. They respond to the announcement. The shepherds got over their fears. They pretty quickly. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. See, folks, there's going to come a time. There's going to come a time in your own life when you're just going to have to drop everything and give yourself to the Lord. There's going to come a time in your life when you will not be breathing anymore and your heart will not be pumping anymore and you will come face to face with your Creator. You will drop everything. You will drop this flesh. And there comes a time when you're just going to have to drop everything in your own walk and in your own life and come to the altar. Say, I give my life to you, Lord. There's going to come a time when you have to drop everything and say, I need prayer. Somebody pray for me. Surrendering all of your logic, all of your knowledge, all of your attitude. And you recognize Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's been thinking about me all year long. Here it is, Christmas, and he's still thinking about me. He's still paving a way for me. He still wakes me up and puts air in my lungs. There comes a time when you're going to have to go from where you are to somewhere else. Even if it's in your own mind, in your own attitude, in your own thought process, you're going to have to go from where you are to somewhere else. When you start to live a life moving forward with the Lord, when you start to live a life influenced by the spiritual and not only the physical, when you can't even begin to stay the way that you are, you will move. You will stretch out. You will come to the altar. You will pray. You will seek. When you start to prioritize the spiritual things in your life, well, you start to utilize God's word in your life as opposed to your own opinions. When you start to prioritize, well, going to church over a sporting event that's on TV. When you start to prioritize, you know, giving more than hoarding. When you start to emphasize and prioritize grace over judgment. You are on your way to meeting the King. You're on your way to somewhere else other than where you have been. Have you started on your way? Have you started on your way? Or are you still back in the field? Shepherds responded, are you still back in the field trying to rationalize what you saw? Trying to rationalize what you felt? Trying to explain that which you've experienced? Are you still back in the field? trying to understand what God is saying to you? There's going to come a time in your life when you must stop whatever it is that you're doing and meet the Savior. There's going to come a time when you have to stop thinking about whatever you think is important and meet Jesus. Whatever you task or whatever you think is burdening you, you'll come to a place where you stop that and you pray for someone else. When you stop with the weariness and the despair and the depression and the all of that's all about you, and you get out of yourself and you come to this place to meet Jesus, and you realize he's doing something in you that he might do something through you. And you are well on your way to getting out of the field. Even if you don't understand everything, everything seems unusual, implausible, fantastic, even if it seems illogical, even in your own fears, come out of your busyness. Come out of your fears. Come out of your reactions already. Start responding to God. Come out of your preoccupation with personal success. Come out of your usual routine and your ho-hum life. Come away from your sorrow. Come away from your fear. Come away from your confusion and your doubts. Come away from the weariness and begin to see an amazing God who's thinking about you right now. Get out of the feel of the usual and come experience the supernatural. Come experience the mystery. Come experience the unexplainable. Walk in the presence of God, that his light might shine on you and shine through you. You must come check this out, what this Jesus thing is. And I can promise you, it's not about religion. I can promise you it's not about a jihad. I can promise you it's not about denominations. I can promise you it's not about sacred scrolls or secret writings. I promise you it's about a relationship that God wants with you. A relationship that crosses the spiritual into the physical. A relationship that intertwines the natural and the supernatural in your life. Not the life of the pastor, not the life of the missionary. In your life, your life, your life, in your life, God is doing something. This is the work to be done. The faith that is to be endured, the practice of your faith. This is what we seek. Get out of the fields and start seeking him. Get into his word. Get into Sunday school. Get into Bible study. Get into virtual prayer meetings. Those shepherds hurried off. They couldn't wait. And what I find kind of cool, they went together. They went together. Imagine that. Just imagine the shepherds, and they see this amazing thing, and then they hear, and they're just, George, I mean, you saw that, right? I mean, you saw that, right? Yeah, okay. Dwayne, you saw it too? You heard, right? I mean, you heard that, right? You didn't just see it, you heard it. Oh. Yeah, oh man, I about jumped out of my skin. Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Did, yeah. You want to go check it out? No way, man, not me. They didn't do that. They didn't do that. They sought more. They wanted more. They wanted confirmation about this God thing. You know what? So do I. 30 years later, I'm still more confirmation, more confirmation, more confirmation, more confirmation. Keeps proving himself over and over and over and over again. I get to the place now, why do I even doubt? Why do I even question? He's shown himself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. I just keep hanging around to see what God's going to do next. They went, they hurried off to see this thing that had happened. I love being a part of this church family. I love seeing what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. I love traveling this spiritual road together. And I wonder often, though, how many times we've missed supernatural experiences. How we missed supernatural experiences because they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go. No, man, it's all right. You go. No, you go pray over to cops. No, it's okay. You do your Christmas thing. No, it's okay. You do your Thanksgiving thing. No, how many spiritual things do we miss because we just don't want to go together? We just don't want to go. They don't want to travel the road. I wonder how many deep meaning, spiritual moving, life-changing moments have been missed because people want to stay in the field and count the sheep as opposed to go meet the king. I share with people all the time spiritual experiences that I've had and that I've encountered, that I've experienced. And some are fascinated. Some just stand, whoa, man, you're whacked and that's weird. Some run away. Why is that? Why would they doubt my experience? Why would they doubt my experience with grace and with patience and protection and provision and the love that God has given that I might give it away? Why would they doubt? Because they didn't have an experience. They doubt my experience because they didn't have one. They doubt my experience because it's not the same as theirs. They doubt my experiences because theirs are different. They don't have the same experiences. Did everybody believe the shepherds whenever they started to go and tell everybody? Highly unlikely. Some still doubt to this day. You can read them this story and they doubt. They're still not believing it. Still not believing it. Part of that is because they need an encounter with themselves. They need an encounter of their own. They need a divine intervention of their own. We need God to intervene strong in our lives and in a powerful way. We gather up together and we pray. Well, let's pray for our government and the transition to a new administration. What exactly are you praying for? Are you praying for something physical? Or are you praying for something spiritual? Oh, we pray for our family, man. I pray for my family. Keep them healthy. Keep them what? Following after God. Keep them strong. Keep them spiritually strong. Watch over them. What exactly are you praying for? Exactly how do you want God to intervene in their lives? In a spiritual way? In a physical way? Yes! Jesus Christ is the only one who can. He's only one who did. Who speaks supernatural into your life? Who prays over you? Who dogs you? Just puts you up in front of the congregation and says, pray for these people. Physically, spiritually. Who has hope and joy? Who has freedom in the depths of their souls? Who's willing to walk with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly? Anybody in here just good? No. Anybody in here just bad? No. Most of you ugly, but sorry. Lord, please forgive me. They went together and they found what they were seeking. They did it together. That was what was amazing. What are you seeking? I'm seeking Jesus. Want to come along? Oh, man, to walk in absolute assurance of God's promises. They walked in absolute assurance. Even if it was confirmation, I need to confirm that God is going to do what he's going to do. I got to confirm that God said he's going to do what he's going to say he's going to do. God's been confirming it and confirming it and confirming it in my life over and over and over and over again. Those shepherds must have been off. They did it together. They go together with love and patience and gentleness for all peoples. They want to see this. They want to experience. They pray over each other and encourage one another. Can you imagine being in a church where you pray over one another and care about one another and, you know, walk with each other through the good, the bad, and the ugly? Man, to love Peter, even though he just rejected Christ. to love Thomas, even though he's in the midst of doubting. To love David, adulterer. To walk with people through the good, the bad, and the ugly. To love as God has loved. That's God's leading. That's what God does. Here, a couple slides I'll run through with you real quick. Go without delay toward that which he has revealed to you. What is God revealing to you? He's revealing things to me about me. I promise you, he's revealing things to you about you. And you need to move into that which he's revealing to you. And it might require physical acts. It might require spiritual acts. Yes. God is doing something amazing, and move towards it without delay. Those shepherds hurried off to discover what God was saying to them, to reveal to them. And then they went without doubt. There's your next one. Go without doubt toward what he had called you to do. Just go with great hope, great anticipation. Advent is all about anticipation and the hope and the arrival of Christ. It's Advent. Go. Go without doubt, believing. And then go without dissension toward the fulfillment of the promises. Go without dissension. Your experiences are going to look different than my experiences. The light that's going to shine on me is going to look different than it shines on you. How he works in your life is going to look different than how he works in my life. But if we do it together, isn't that awesome? The shepherds went together. They went together. They were bound together in unity, in a fellowship. That's a church. To show love, to share comfort, to share peace. I know that sometimes we can lose focus. We can believe in our hearts, but our eyes perceive a difficult journey. We perceive the darkness of the world that rejects us or doesn't like us or walks away from us or puts us down or picks on us or persecutes us or opposition. And we believe in our hearts, but our eyes just, we can't, and we will lose focus. I believe we can believe, but we look at our bank accounts and go, man, nothing but difficulties for me. There's too much month and not enough money. We believe, but we don't quite understand even what we saw all the time. And we don't always trust that which God is trying to speak to us. We don't always know what we're looking for. Sometimes you don't even know what you're looking for. You're just going in a direction. I believe in God. Yes, continue. Seek after him. I don't even know why I show up at the prayer meetings. I don't really like to pray. I don't know how to pray. But I want more of God. That's all I know. I don't know why I show up at the church. I keep showing up at church. I really don't understand anything. I can't spell Deuteronomy. But I keep showing up. I keep showing up. I keep seeking him. Because he's revealing things to me. And he's molding me and shaping me and moving me in ways that I've never thought about before. Praise be to God. I can promise you these things about these shepherds. They knew where they were going and what they were doing. They knew the way, the truth, and they knew who gave them eternal life. I could promise you that. I can tell you this. They didn't get sidetracked. They didn't get sidetracked when the saddle fell off the camel. They didn't get sidetracked when they got a blister. They didn't get sidetracked when they stubbed their toe. They didn't get sidetracked when they had to climb a mountain and it got difficult and I got thirsty. They didn't get sidetracked when someone didn't understand why they were doing and what they were doing. They forged ahead. They kept on keeping on. They kept their eyes on the prize. They marched forward in full anticipation of what God has done and what God will do. God is at work right here, right now, in you. Just another usual day in your ho-hum life. Bah humbug. I worry that you might not have eyes to see it. You get too busy to notice. You're too focused on the money. You're too focused on the presents that have to be purchased. My family would just get their act together. I know I would do so much better. God is at work. All those ordinary tasks. You can get so focused. You can get so focused, particularly in your family. You can get so focused on the sin in people's lives, you don't see the people. God is at work in you and through you. And here's your next slide. And the Lord leads us from where we are to where he wants us to be. The Lord leads us from where we are to where he wants us. The shepherds trusted in the supernatural to intervene. Here's maybe a better word that we can grasp. To interfere. We talked about God ruining Joseph and Mary's life. Just ruined it. Totally. Just took them out of all their own dreams and all their own ambitions and all the things that they thought were going to be. Ruined it. God intervened. I know you think you got good ways. God's got better ways. He interferes. Can God interfere with your day? Would you give God permission to interfere with your day? Or are you so high and mighty, you've got it all figured out, and you know what your day is going to look like, and this is what's going to be, and this is how it's going to go, and then you get a phone call. Can God interfere with your day? And then do you react? Or do you respond? The shepherds had a testimony. I think it's close to your last one. They rejoiced. They rejoiced. When they had seen him, when they went and tried to discover and figure out what God had been revealing to them and sharing with them, and telling them, just like you, God's revealing things and telling you and opening your mind and opening your heart. And as you seek and as you go, when they saw him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. When they had seen it, they made it known. They couldn't help themselves. They had to. Facebook and Instagram, and they had to put it on, they had to tweet it. They had to do something because it just changed everything about who they were. They told everything that had happened, everything that they had heard, and I'm so absolutely convinced unless you've had some type of a spiritual encounter, everything you are encountering is physical and thinking about God. There's something spiritual that takes place. Something inside you that says, I'm born again. This is way beyond anything I can think, ask, or imagine. It can't be just head knowledge. It can't be just, I think I'm saved. It can't be just, I think I know what Jesus did. I think I know what God did. Or you'd think that there's no God at all. And that's part of the problem. You think and you think and you think and you think and you stay in the physical world way too much. When you have a godly experience, when you have a spiritual experience through prayer, through Bible study, whatever it is, sitting at home and you just start to bawl because reading God's word and your Holy Spirit's just shining up through you and molding you and shaping you. The God of shines around you. That soul-shaping, mind-transforming starts to change your perceptions and gives you an experience. The glory of God starts to move within you. When you get that kind of encounter, there ain't nothing. There ain't nothing. There ain't no one going to debate it away. There ain't no one going to talk you out of it. You've had an encounter with the living Christ, the living God. Behold the power that he's shown you, that he's filled you, that he's loved you. You can't even begin to help yourself. There's something much bigger than this physical life, than your physical life. And I noticed that those shepherds, they didn't seem too worried about what other people were thinking. They didn't seem too worried about what other people might be saying. They didn't seem like they had to have carefully constructed, complex plans of presentation. I don't think they were worried about a 3-point presentation so that they can convince people about what they saw. I think they shared it and moved on. We're not responsible for their reactions. And many react. You know what I think? They were excited. They were excited. They have full of anticipation of what God had shown them and what God is doing. Are you excited about Christmas? Are you excited about what God has done? If you're not, you're still stuck in the field counting sheep. They were excited about the Messiah. They were overjoyed. Are you overjoyed about your salvation? Are you overjoyed about your hope? Are you overjoyed about the peace that God has given you that transcends all this world? If you don't even know what I'm talking about, you're still stuck in the one because we think we have to have this memorized thing, or we're afraid of their reaction. And you let fear override your excitement. I'm excited about Jesus, but I'm afraid to tell my son I went to church on Sunday. Fear is ruling your life. You may not even see it. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't often even see it. You're way too much stuck in the physical world and not in the spiritual world. Or we think we need some kind of memorized line, a proper program. I think I'm going to say it wrong. I don't know how to pray. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I wonder if maybe we're just unwilling to tell people because we don't think we can convince them about your experience like you need to. Let me just let you off the hook. You don't need to convince them about your experience. You don't need to convince them about that at all. As a matter of fact, if you begin to walk in the Spirit, instead of all that flesh and fear and reaction and you think too much, if you just allow the Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. The Holy Spirit's the one who convinces. The Holy Spirit's the one who converts. You don't do any of that. You know what you do? You convey. That's all you do. You convey. I went to church on Sunday. It was awesome. Go tell 7 people this week. Went to church on Sunday. It was awesome. Go to church. The church was terrible. I went to church on Sunday. It was awesome. They're going to debate it, argue it. What's your experience? We're just the witnesses. That's all. Just like the shepherds, who simply told people what they've experienced, what they've seen, what they heard. That was it. They, the shepherds, amazingly, they couldn't stay at the manger. And amazingly, you know, they couldn't hang out and become best friends with Joseph and Mary. Just couldn't stay there. They had to go back to work. They had to go back to their families. They had to go back to their ho-hum routines of life. But did they go back the same? Did they go back the same? Will you walk out of here the same? Will you walk out of here the same as you came in? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard. There's your last one, returned. Almost getting there. They went back glorifying and praising God. What about all that they had seen and what they had heard? What have you experienced and what have you seen? What's your experience with Christ? It can't be just about an emotional meeting. It's got to be something different, deeper. It's about the beginning of a life lived. That even your daily routines glorify God. They returned back to their ho-hum life, praising God and glorifying God for all that they had seen and done. When did that stop? Every day their lives were different. Every day their experience changed their lives. Every day it challenged them in their understanding of who this Messiah was and who this King was and how this peace would be delivered into their lives and peace on earth. Every day they would seek it. Every day they would live it. So will you. Every day forward, from now on, go praising God and glorifying God for all that you have seen, all that you have experienced, all that you have heard, God is moving in your life right now. And I want to ask you about this one. The heavens were rejoicing. All the creations within the spiritual dimensions are glorifying God. We're just talking about us. Imagine the spiritual realms, another creation. Angel, if you believe that sort of thing, if you believe the Bible, there are spiritual dimensions. And the angels are speaking, and the angels are rejoicing, and the angels are glorifying. And they're singing the Creator Himself that created all dimensions, all physical, all spiritual, all universes, all the Creator has become a creation. What? What? Behold, the heavens are singing and praising and rejoicing, and all the earth. Look what God has done for those lowly people. They went singing, praising, and glorifying God. All the creatures across all the physical and spiritual realms witnessing something amazing. And here is your last slide. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you for these moments and these times. And your presence is real. And Father, I pray that you would continue to work in our physical bodies. Give us strength and endurance. Help us in our minds. And Father, work spiritually into the very depths of our souls. Give us new ways. And Father, empower us that we might sing your praises in our ho-hum existence. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We glorify you. Continue to do the good works that you have begun in us and through us, that we might bring you glory. And Father, can I be so bold? May we do it together. May we do it together as a fellowship and a family, through the good, the bad, and the ugly. May we praise your name in it all and through it all. We want to be like the heavens, still rejoicing. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
We need to be praising God for that shirt. Look at that thing, man. It's awesome.
Thank you. If the gentleman would come forward for this morning's offering. Thank you, Pastor. That was a awesome message. Thank you for making what can be sometimes a traditional Christmas story just be as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. Let us pray. Dear Father, thank you just so much for giving us the opportunity to be able to come to this church. Father, to enter into your house, Father, in whatever shape we enter. Father, thank you for receiving us. Thank you for seeking us out. Thank you for looking for us through the fields, Father, for picking us, for knowing the hairs on our head. Your grace abounds, Father. We just ask that you would please put your hand over the top of these monies and tithes and offerings that are given. Let us use them. Give us the discernment to use them for your kingdom and for your purpose. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen.